I'd like to welcome you to the Dad Bod Pod. This is episode 7. We're back after a nice little bye week. Jamie, talk to me. How was that bye week?
Bye week was great. I was definitely beat up a little bit from a soccer game the previous week and was feeling sore, a little tired. Things are busy. It was good to have the week off, came back refreshed.
Things are busy, come back refreshed. Yeah, I mean, I actually had 2 bye weeks, so not a bad little vacay. Tonight we have special guest, Drew Thatch. Love to welcome you to the pod. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. Long time listener, first time guest. I'm excited to be here.
Could you give us a, just give us a little quick intro.
Okay, brief bio. So my name's Drew. Born and raised here in Charlottesville, one of 3 locals in the Dad Bod League with Seth and Steven. And got a beautiful wife, Katie. We live out in Crozet. We've got 2 kids, Shepherd and Gus. And I currently work at HealthSouth Rehab Hospital, and I'm starting school for becoming a physician's assistant in January.
That's a huge process, huh?
It's a big deal. Yeah, big change, doing a big career switch. So, yeah, but I'm excited about it.
How long is that program?
It'll be 2 years and a semester, basically. So a little over 2 years. And so I guess news alert early.
News alert?
Yeah.
Wow.
I will, I guess I'll have to see how grad school is going as to my participation level for next year.
So whoa.
I definitely want to be at the Sunday night football games and participating, but I don't know if I will be in the league or not. It'll probably depend on how school goes this semester as to whether or not I can justify. Might have to take a little short
sabbatical?
2-year sabbatical. Yeah.
Bringing in interim owner?
Yeah, might have to. We had some discussions earlier about a 14-person league, but might have fill-ins. Or I have a, I think Will Schnorr would make a great addition to the league. So I'm going to go ahead and cast my vote for that.
I hear he's at the top
of the needed.
List.
Yes. So we'll see. That's the hot off the presses.
Do you know where you'll be?
Yeah, so I'm going to a school. Mary Baldwin School is called Murphy Deming. It's right across from Augusta Medical. So
okay,
it's over in Waynesboro. So we live in Crozet.
Shoot, that's perfect.
Yeah, that's great. So yeah, I'm excited about that. And
how old are Gus and Shepherd now?
They are 6 and about to be 4. So, so the other thing, yeah, go ahead.
Who knows more football facts, you or Shepherd?
Shepherd last year became an avid Virginia basketball fan.
Okay.
So he has been more focused on basketball, I would say. But my wife actually mentioned the other day that her coworker has a 4-person family fantasy football league, which sounded awesome. And it's him, his wife, and his 2 kids, and they play fantasy football. And I was like, that sounds like a lot of fun. And a 4-person league, I'm guessing you're going to have a little bit easier time picking up quality people from the waiver wire than we do. Typically.
You're going to have all-star teams going against each other every week.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a different challenge, but it'd be fun.
That's ridiculous. That sounds super fun, though.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I just want to jump in and mention that, you know, rumors of the pod discontinuing, hugely exaggerated. And we're grateful to Drew to come today. It's sweet to have him here.
It did cross my mind. I thought Robert might have killed the pod.
And Trey might have killed Robert. If Robert killed the pod, would Trey have killed Robert? True or false?
It's tough to say, but I do think that Trey sends a text or a GroupMe message three times a week saying, where is the pod?
That's true.
Like it's in a geographic location, yeah. You know, like, let me go find it. You know? Let's get a little, what is right. it?
Geocaching.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like,
can we geocache this episode that Trey has to actually physically find?
Trey would drop everything, follow all the clues. He would find the pod.
This needs to happen.
Yeah, that is priceless.
Can Zach make that happen? Shout out to our editor, Zach. Zach, you're the greatest. Geocache this episode.
Oh, man.
Well, I want to start us off with a quick segment. We've been here before. It's called Matt Facts. And I just have a few small facts to share, followed by a question for Drew. It's interesting. In our league, I was just doing a little look at the churn, and it's pretty interesting. So, you know, some people making a lot of moves, some people are not making that many moves. And another thing I've been looking at is how many people have people on the roster who they drafted. So, you know, how many original players that you drafted are still on your team? And it's pretty funny. So for instance, I have made 20 moves, so I've got a pretty high churn rate, and I still have 9 drafted players on my roster out of the original, is it 15? And, you know, whereas look at someone like Caleb. Caleb has made 10 moves. He's got 11 players that he drafted. What's fascinating is Drew has a churn of 22, so he's made 22 moves. That's the highest in the league. What's extra fascinating is that Drew has only 5 players that he drafted still on his roster.
Wow.
That is actually the lowest. So, you know, those kind of correlate. You know, that kind of makes sense in some ways. You know, high churn, you're less likely to have drafted players. At the same time, you got people like Sean who have made 16 moves, but still have 12 players that they drafted. So, you know, he's just turning those same couple roster spots again and again and again. But here's my first question for you, Drew.
Yeah.
Mike Williams, you dropped him.
Yeah, critical error.
What was the thought process there?
I was following the Matt advice of churning the bench, and there was a critical error. I think a huge mistake. a couple of mistakes. I think now we're starting to look back, you know, and what we see as mistakes. 5 of the original, you know, you're going to start with injuries. Leonard Fournette is injured. Jimmy Garoppolo is injured. Doyle injured. So there's starters that are injured right there. You know, I get Eifert to come in. He gets injured. I get my tight end this week injured. So like I mentioned before, I have lots and lots of excuses as to why this year has been terrible so far, and I have the least points of anyone. But when you have the least points of anyone, you're going to want to change things.
You got to do something.
You got to do something, and I'm trying hard. And that's why team name. I am the team owner. Didn't go over that in the beginning of turning a corner. I feel like this year I have turned a corner. I've cared more than I have in the past. I did care last year, trying not to do stand-up. Thank you, Caleb. I look forward to the November stand-up immensely. But I turned the corner, and I put in what I would say is a lot more effort, and I would say that I'm as bad or worse. And so I know correlation does not equal causation. That's the only thing I learned from econ in college. But as my effort level increases, it feels like my performance is decreasing. So if we could get Caleb to confirm that with his data analysis, my increased effort, has it led to my decreased performance? Can he prognosticate that?
Yeah, and Zach said as much in the GroupMe as well, because Steven on our last episode kind of unprompted called Zach out a little bit, just expecting better results for the amount of time. And Zach said, hey, this is an obsession. This is something that I enjoy probably a little too much. Time in does not equal greater output.
Yep.
And I think this also speaks to the parity of the league. We have 7 teams at 2-3 right now.
Right. Which, that's the other side, right?
So
maybe I could be actually worse than I am now if I hadn't been putting this time in. That would be the flip side of that argument. But yes, Zach's intense preparation and vast knowledge is reassuring to me, as he it has not parlayed into the record for him, but he knows a lot more than I do.
Yeah, well, you know, 2-3, that's an interesting spot to be. You know, you're second to last.
Yep.
But the season's still
here. With the other half of the league.
Yeah, I mean, someone else in 2-3 is in fifth place.
Right. Right. So, I need one good week. I need one good week. This is the week. We were talking about this earlier. This is the week. You know, everyone who's 2-3, almost half the league, can go two different directions. They win this week, and their trajectory is towards the playoffs. You go to 2-4, it's not looking good. I mean, this is the make or break week, and right now, Odell Beckham Jr. is not helping me out. But, you know, this is it.
That's live as we speak.
Live as we speak, it's not looking great. But this is the week, and this is the chance. I need an upset. I'm vastly predicted to lose.
Yeah, how do you feel about this matchup?
You know, I think Robert went from, you know, everyone giving him flack to, wait a minute, he's got players on his team who are performing, and he's also in the 2-3. He went from everyone, you know, the first rename to he's 2-3. If he does wax me with a bunch of points this week, he's 3-3 in the middle of the pack. So I think that's a huge turnaround from everyone giving him a bunch of flack to, wait a minute.
Right.
He's way back in. So that just goes to show this week is huge. This week is huge.
No, totally, but you haven't said how you actually feel about that.
Feel about the fact that I am...
Feel about your hopes. Like, do you feel like you're hopeful to make the playoffs right now?
Cautiously optimistic. No, I would say definitely not. I would say I am shooting for... I would say my current fab budget demonstrates that I am shooting for that consolation buy.
Where did you
trying to do something?
Where did you respond in the Trayco confidence poll?
Okay, perfect question. I was thinking about that. I wished that, am I bad or unlucky, which was, I believe, number 4, was actually number 1. Because I thought that perfectly encapsulated where I am.
Okay.
Am I bad or am I unlucky? Because I've got the second most points scored against me and the least most points scored. So it's probably both.
So you like the wording, but
I love
number,
the
numeric
4,
scale?
But I would move it down to 2 or 1.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where I am.
On I'm my tracking.
Current thing, but pretty excited for fantasy football. Still loving it despite the fact that it.
I mean, it's a different feeling to have the pressure of not losing versus the joy of potentially winning.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, but they're both extremely fun.
I also want to say huge props again. I think Steven said this on the last pod for choices. Basically, I would say a huge percentage of my icebreakers in terms of just conversations with people are, hey, I'm in this fantasy football league, and these are the 3 choices that we have for the loser. And they all, it's the ultimate would you rather, right? Would you rather do 5 minutes of stand-up, get a Brazilian wax job, or have a student driver cone on your car? It's college all over again, and it's hilarious. And it has literally been an icebreaker for me for, I don't know, I've told almost everybody how I come in contact with. So, yeah, kudos to the league for that.
Can you give us a hint as to which you would choose?
I mean... I'm hoping that Zach's meme of a bumper sticker that said student driver would be qualification because I would slap that bumper sticker on my car real quick.
Drive around for a year.
And yeah, be good to go. Now a cone is a little bit more and I have a sneaky feeling like our Roger Goodell / commissioner would probably require the cone, but yeah.
Yeah, the cone of shame.
Yes, yeah. So
you mentioned this a second ago, your fab budget.
Yes.
I've noticed that you tend to bid extremely low on players.
Well, except for Andy Dalton, which was another critical error that I vastly regret.
How much did you spend on Andy?
I weigh 52 more than I should have. Yeah. I think it was 52 or 53.
And that okay. Next highest bid on Andy Dalton
learning,
that week?
That was my learning curve.
I'm sorry?
What was the next highest bid on Andy Dalton that week?
That would be zero.
$0.
Yeah, that would be $0. No other bids. There were $0.
No bids.
$0 were bid on that, yeah.
I mean, he's a ginger.
yeah, that was my learning curve. And I feel like I'm in a learning curve for fantasy. So,
well, but I would have thought that,
yeah,
we've seen some players go by that.
Yeah,
have been
so Tyler Boyd, I think, was huge, and I bid on Alfred Morris. I think that, you know, I am moving down towards halfway through the budget, and I bid on Alfred Morris, and I bid on Smallwood, and I bid on you know, a bunch of running backs this week,
right,
and I just
right.
came up short on those. I didn't go high enough, yeah. But
six,
I need running backs. I need running backs badly. Yeah. That's obvious if you look at my team. So. Yep, thus the trade for Adrian Peterson.
Well,
that's that trade, right? I need a running back.
How badly do you need them? I mean, six people bet ahead of you.
Yeah.
And that, it doesn't seem like you need them that bad.
Right. I mean, I thought I could get them for a decent amount. I guess I didn't correctly calculate how badly other people also wanted running backs.
Well, let's talk about this.
I love the fab budget. I love
Jamie,
it. I think it's great. I think it's been so much more fun. And I think all the credit goes to Zach on that. It's just
totally.
So much more fun.
Totally.
You do technically have a chance at everybody. It's way more complicated. It's way more, you know, cerebral or whatever. You got to factor in what everyone else, you know, needs and wants. And
I want to get into y'all's business too much, but how do you guys go about even making a guess as a bid?
So before we get there, just point of clarification. The B in fab is budget, right?
Yes.
Are we saying fab, budget?
We are being redundant.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just wanted to clarify that,
mm.
that we don't have to say budget at the end. But I think when you're thinking about the player that you want to get, yeah, you know, Wendell Smallwood went for like 130 or something like that. So if you think this guy's a difference maker, we saw Jared Cook go for 150. If you really want this player, you're saying, you know, I'm going to spend 20% or more of my budget on one player. And that's your difference maker.
Right.
If you don't think this guy's going to be a difference maker, then I think you're bidding somewhere under that $100 margin, and it's just a matter of how badly do you want him.
I can give some insight for me. What I think it should be is, what is the maximum amount that I'm willing to be comfortable bidding on this person and getting it, right? You don't
right.
want to bid more. So
right.
that's what it should be. What is it for me? It's, I want this person. I put in a bid, and then I say, oh, crud, other people might want it. So then I up it. And then I do that about six or seven times until I get to an amount that is way higher. So for me, Andy Dalton, I started out with $13 and ended up with $53. Obviously, I should have been incrementing down, not up. And
what made you think other people wanted Andy Dalton?
It wasn't even other people. It was like, shoot, I need a quarterback. Shoot, I need a quarterback. Shoot, I need a quarterback. And I just kept upping the bid, and then you spend too much money, so. But Tyler Boyd was a great pickup, I think. He
totally.
Had a bad week last week, but you know, a good week before. I think he has the potential to be great. So I feel good about that one. A lot of things I feel bad about, but I love the fab implementation.
I mean, Andy Dalton is QB12 this year.
Yeah.
So definitely deserves to be on a roster.
Yep.
He's ahead of Matt Stafford, Trey Coe's starting QB.
I think Trey said something about Matt Stafford this week.
He's ahead of Cam Newton.
He's
Zach's starting
surprising.
QB.
That's surprising. I didn't realize that.
Russell Wilson, Seth.
Not as surprising. Yeah.
Real rough here. So Andy Dalton, not a bad pickup. It was just funny.
Just paid way too much.
Way too much.
I'd like that $51 back.
Well, this kind of all spawned out of a quick section of Matt Facts going through the churn and burn and how many drafted players are still left on rosters. Just jumping back to that draft, what's your biggest regret from draft night?
I think Zach immediately jumped on me for Lamar Miller, and that is proving to be wise words. I think somebody came to my defense on the fact that he performed well went under Watson, which I had no idea because I'm not nearly as knowledgeable as many people in this league. But he was the best running back at the time, and our fantasy draft went running back heavy crazy.
Totally crazy.
Totally crazy.
Okay.
And I did I mean, just my next level, turning the corner for me was doing the automated mock drafts of Fantasy Pros. Not the real mock drafts, but automated ones, which was so fun. And in that, it was like, okay, let me get two running backs and feel good. Well, Trey Coe takes Dalvin Cook and McCaffrey.
Right.
And I'm thinking, there's no... I mean, basically, there were by the time we got to me in the beginning of the second round, there were almost no real second tier running backs. You know, if your first tier is Le'Veon Bell,
There wasn't.
And Gurley, there wasn't. So I went with Odell Beckham Jr. And I don't think that was a bad pick at the time at all. But yeah, I think that the mock thing was super fun and not particularly helpful. But yeah, I think it's interesting. I think running backs are the challenging position for me. And they seem challenging in general. Everybody's running by committee, right? Kerryon Johnson is clearly the best running back for the Lions, and he's still one of three running backs being used, and Patricia's still trying to pound it in there with LeGarrette Blount, which makes no sense to every owner of Kerryon Johnson. But that's the game we play. So there's a huge value on running backs with injuries and everyone running by committee. You got to play at least two. Seems like you can get wide receivers that are decent. It seems hard for me this year to get running backs.
I mean, in a perfect world, like your team's got to have three good running backs.
Yeah.
And that's just so hard to come by.
Yeah. I mean, and if you get two, I feel like you're way better than I am.
I mean, how many good running backs do you think you have, Jamie?
One and a half.
Yeah.
So Zeke and who's the half?
Aaron Jones.
Mm. Yeah.
Just be patient.
Oh, I'm being patient. I'm 2 and 3. I can be
real patient. So here's the question I want to throw out here. The transition between perceived value, which was huge early podcast thing, versus past performance, right? You have this transition from perceived value of what they're projected to do to what have they actually done this year. I would argue we're in that transition zone, right? We're in that time frame where now we're transitioning from what their potential is to what have they actually done. Where is that inflection point for you guys? And are we making that transition where you're looking at the past performance? So that transition from perceived value to past performance, is that now? How do you guys see that? What are your thoughts?
Geez, I think first I want you to define perceived value.
Well, we have hour and 20 minutes on that with Seth's podcast, but yeah.
So before the season, you don't have actual games in this season to make decisions off of. Right. So you're taking last season's performance, but people have changed teams. Coaches have changed. You've drafted new, younger players. Schemes change.
Older players have put on a couple of...
Yeah. There's training camp. There's chatter. There's coaches talk. This guy's going. McCaffrey's going to get all these carries. Do you believe Rivera when he says that? Yeah.
The Cowboys coaches said Tavon Austin was going to get 12 to 24 touches game.
I did. And he is on the waiver wire.
If Tavon Austin is getting 24 touches a game,
I did pick up Tavon for a short bit.
He's going in the first round
for 2 days.
I think that's about
more
right.
or less than 2 days, somewhere in that neighborhood.
It might have been a week.
Yeah. Okay.
So that is perceived value, and now we have 5 weeks of actual games to base decisions.
See, I mean,
so are you're transitioning, right? I mean, you're looking at that.
Yes, but I think it's just more gray than that because there's still so much perceived value.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean. Just because someone did something the first 5 weeks does not, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're totally going to do that the next
time. Past performance does not equal future gains.
I mean, it's a good piece of evidence. Like, totally. I'm using that when I think about any player I'm going to start. But there's just so many other factors.
Yeah. So you're not there yet. You're not there to that point of just looking at their history.
Well, what are you really driving at here? I mean, are you driving at like, are we jumping back to the whole trade debacle?
No. I'm driving at like how you value players going forward. So like when Jared Cook has one good game, he goes for $150. He has this massive jump in his value, right? But after 10 games, if someone has one big game, you don't value that the same, right? And so there's this transition, and it's a gradual transition that you're making from perceived value to yearly performance, right? And the way that affects how you value players, I think, is interesting. And it's happening right now, where you're transitioning from how you were looking at it on draft day to now you're looking at their performance, and an individual performance has different value. That huge game in the first game is like, oh crud, Jarrett Cook could be the real deal for the rest of the year. Whereas if he has 6 4-point games and then scores 22 points, he may not even get picked up off of the waiver wire. So it's just really interesting, that whole dynamic. Again, back to the Fab.
Okay, here's an example for you.
Is awesome.
Here's an example that I think helps us start answering your question. So let's take a player that every single person in the league has been offered in trade. His name is Quincy. His name is Quincy Enunwa.
Mentioned in the Matthew Berry article on the Vampire League, he has Quincy in his Vampire League.
It's because he's a good player. Now, let me clarify.
He's a good player that one person in our league wants.
And that's me. So the thing about Quincy is, you know, he's had maybe two great games.
Right.
And then a couple medium games, and then a dud.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm hanging on to him is because the potential is there for him to become a great player down the stretch. And here's why I think that. He's the number one target in his offense. And in fact, that's something I look at with all players a lot, you know, more so than their points. You know, do they get 10 targets every week?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Do they get 8 targets every week? That's
right.
Awesome.
Right.
So, you know, Quincy, he didn't break his hand, but he sprained his wrist or something and he couldn't catch a ball last week. He had 5 targets, so still. It's still the most on his team. He caught 0 balls, but he had 5 targets. Sam Darnold loves to throw it to him. And, you know, as Sam Darnold gets better with each and every single game, Quincy Enunwa is going to get better each and every single game. So I have hopes that there's a reason to keep him on my roster. You know, is that totally going to happen? I have no idea. But I see evidence that's not revealed, not just in points, that points toward, you know, that kind of reveals a possible good future.
So has your opinion of him shifted? Because you tried to trade him a number of times. Are you now at a point where you're saying you would want to keep him going forward? Because, and then the second question is, do you really believe in Sam Darnold? Because I think the rest of our league probably doesn't, and probably looks at the Jets as this year's Cleveland Browns, and therefore wants no part of Quincy.
I'm not convinced. I don't think that there's reason to trash the Jets that much. I think that,
I mean, they're 2-3. They're better than
somebody. I don't know. I mean,
they lost to the Browns.
The Browns aren't the Browns anymore. Kudos to them for,
yeah, that's true,
having 2 wins. But I think in your comment, you said Sam Darnold's going to get better. You have to believe Sam Darnold's going to get better. I think I would say I don't know that Sam Darnold's going to get better.
Well, hang on now.
If he doesn't get better, it doesn't matter how many targets Quincy's getting.
There are players. He's not going to. There are players in this league that have terrible quarterbacks playing, but they still throw him the ball. And they still get points.
Yes. Odell Beckham Jr. would be
a perfect example. I think that Quincy could become something. And I think that, you know, it's better to have someone who's a guarantee. Like, would I rather have Quincy, who I think might score 15 points a game late in the season? Would I rather have, you know, Joe Blow, who regularly scores 11 or 12. Give me Joe Blow right now. Like, totally.
Quincy scored 0 points last week.
He hurt his hand.
What are we talking about guarantees?
I didn't say guarantee about anything. I said hope for late in the season from Quincy. If somebody's willing to trade me a guy who's always going to score 10 or 12 points, I would take that.
What if the rest of our league, what if we all just had Quincy as our name? What if it was the name of Matt's team, and then 11 teams named Quincy? Like, would that
I could be convinced.
I will change my team name to Quincy, that's for sure. So
I don't think Travis is changing his team name until someone makes him change his team name.
He changed the name of the league, but he hasn't changed his name. So, yeah, I think that's a good point. You're probably not going to convince Travis. But
if someone beats him by 50, we could make
We can change his name to Quincy, too, and then we would have 11 Quincys and whatever Matt. If you can't see Matt's face right now, I think he's a little bit miffed.
So red. It's fiery red.
My goal on coming on the podcast, I mentioned this earlier, was to try and throw less than half of the league under the bus, because I feel like this podcast has made people comfortable. I feel like this is, I would say Jamie is the Howard Stern of podcasts. And people have been more than willing to throw people on the bus. So, yeah, that's one for me. So I need to keep it to less than five more.
Yeah, that's at least one. I'll have to go back and listen to some of your discussion around Zach. We might be at two.
Yeah, no, I have nothing but props for Zach. So
we're going to briefly move on to matchups from this past week.
Mm.
This is an exciting thing. Robert Cunningham whooped up on his former employee.
Big Ten.
Cody Fisher. Cody now has a new name. Robert is still my boss. It's an awesome name. Jim, you got any other recaps? Some big news from last week.
So we've gotten some news that the recaps are by far everyone's least favorite segment on the pod.
Totally lame.
They suck. No one wants to listen to this. So I think what we're going to do is we're just going to wrap all of the recaps into an exciting Monday night game. We had four of the five matchups, six matchups. We had four of the six come down to Monday night, and these four matchups were decided by, I want to say, less than 20 points. So I'll start with mine. I came into Monday night. All of my players had finished. I'm sitting at 105. Zach has Ben Watson, arguably the number one tight end for the New Orleans Saints, possibly the number two tight end for the New Orleans Saints.
Apparently.
He needed a little over 9 points. His highest score of the season was 9.6. So history's on my side, yeah. But it's the Saints. It's Monday night. Drew Brees is setting records. Everybody's scoring touchdowns.
Including the backup quarterback.
Including the backup quarterback, including the backup tight end. I win by five, but it's a nail biter all the way to the end. And Drew was another Monday night matchup.
It was a nail biter. Trey scored a couple points with his defense to be up, I believe, two and some change. So all I needed was 3 points from Adrian Peterson. He almost gets injured on the first play of the game, almost hyperextends his knee, gets a couple points, then gets a negative yard, so now I'm again losing to him. It flip-flops. Then I believe he catches like a 15-yard pass. I'm up by a couple points, and then apparently he dislocates his shoulder. So, you know, by the skin of my teeth, the 10th worst score beats the 11th worst score for a truly terrible week for both of us. But I joined the ranks of the 2 and 3 in the hope springs eternal for my team.
Quick question about that. You had a kicker on your team who was near and dear to me.
Ooh, yes.
Mason Crosby.
He missed a couple.
By a couple, you mean four.
And an extra point. So that's probably about 15, 16 points right there.
That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points.
So J.K. Scott, the Packers punter. What a dude.
Yeah, everyone knows who J.K. Scott is.
J.K. Scott.
Our listeners know.
J.K. Scott, he's a rookie out of Alabama. Packers drafted him in the fifth round. It's a pretty big deal when you draft a punter.
Yeah.
You guys should have got that guy from Seattle.
Whatever, James.
He's filthy.
Whatever. Anyway, in the post-game interview, J.K. Scott comes out and says, Mason Crosby, he's my brother, and he is the best kicker I've ever known. What do you think about that?
I did drop him.
Best kicker that J.K. Scott, you dropped him.
I dropped Crosby. Have you picked him up yet?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Okay. So I think, do you play on Monday night? Do you play Monday on Monday night? So that's my worry, is if you play on Monday night and Sunday they decide to fire Crosby, I'm hosed.
Could happen.
So
they're not going to fire.
They're not going to. They said they wouldn't, but I'm not willing to take that risk. So I switch to Trey's kicker. I switch from Matt's kicker to Trey's kicker, and I take hopefully some points. So I loved Crosby. He was doing great until his terrible week. It's a, you know, a kicker on a team that scores points. That's what you want, right? That's the goal. Maybe throw in a someone who plays in a dome.
Like you want a kicker.
You want someone who plays in the dome on a team that scores points. If you're caring about
kickers. Doesn't
score
big points. It's like they get to the red zone and they get stopped.
Yeah, I mean you can overthink it that way, but generally you're just trying to pick a team that scores points. I mean you can't orchestrate that, right? You can't have your team be the team that peters out in the red zone. You take Gostkowski because he's on the Patriots and they score a lot of points.
I guess it's better for them to not get close. You want 50-yard field goals.
Yeah, but one again, 5 points. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't want the Bears kickers. You know, it's not like
that's true.
Yeah.
So, and I have to admit, I definitely thought I was done. I had very few hopes that my matchup with Caleb will end the way I want it to.
Mm.
I kind of assumed.
Did he have Breeze?
He had Breeze, Chris Thompson.
He was the one who was pissed about the backup.
And Lutz.
Scoring all the touchdowns, which was hilarious.
Right. So
the
Breeze,
BYU quarterback coming through.
Breeze, Chris Thompson, and a kicker. And he needed them to score 60 points.
Mm.
But I have to admit, I thought that was totally doable.
Breeze was on fire.
He came up a little short.
Yeah.
So I lucked out.
Based off the first half.
I lucked out.
Also, I don't know if you guys were watching that game, but they handed Breeze the laminated piece of paper, which had to have been created by an intern. So when he breaks the record, they stop the game to give him the record for the most passing yards. And they have this whole ceremony, and he hands the football to
They paused the game?
They paused the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they paused the game. So
what?
Yes. So they paused the game. He comes over, and he hands the football to the Hall of Fame guy who has on white gloves. He hands Drew Brees a laminated sheet of paper that was like it was not even a plaque or like anything. It was, in my mind, created by some intern 20 minutes before the game, and then he kind of passes that piece of paper back to his wife before he goes back in. He has this awesome conversation where he tells his kids, if you work hard, you can do anything. And he like kisses his three boys and his daughter and his wife. And it's like one of the coolest moments I've seen in a long time. It was awesome. The part I couldn't get over was this tiny little laminated piece of paper that literally looked like something of a middle school project that you would make. And I thought that was hilarious. And that was what they handed Drew Brees. You Whoa. Get the most passing yards, and you get this laminated piece of paper.
I did see Breeze after the game say, this is what Breeze says to his children every night at bedtime.
Mm.
God has equipped you for great works.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, Drew Breeze tells that to his children every single night.
That is cool. And I forgot about his shoulder injury. I forgot. It was almost 10 years ago now, right? He was so
wrecked.
Down. And those first two games, he could barely throw. He was throwing nothing but screen passes. And they were saying Sean Payton saw him throw downfield in like the third or fourth game. And it was like, okay, he's going to be able to make it back. I've totally forgotten about the fact that he was almost done. He was almost done. And to make it all the way back like he has is pretty awesome. Is hope for all of us normal-sized people.
And the last matchup Monday night, that was a little bit of a nail-biter. We had Sean going against Seth. Sean coming to the night down around 40 points or so, give or take. He's got Michael Thomas. He's got Alvin Kamara. He's got Mark Ingram. And Seth still has Jordan Reed yet to go. Sean ends up pulling it out by less than 2 points. And, wow. I mean, just another one. You're going the whole time. Like, all Jordan Reed needs is one catch.
Anything.
10 yards. And this one goes the other way. But Sean pulls it out, climbs up to 2-3 like everyone else. And Yahoo is super high on Sean's projections for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So.
He certainly looks smart taking Kamara and Ingram, you know, playing both of those. You know, I don't like the idea of playing two running backs on the same team, but those are certainly the two that you would want to play.
Yeah, if you're going to go two on the same team,
those are the two.
Those are the two. Yeah. Plenty of touchdowns to go around there. Yeah. And then the other ones that we had were the Chefs. Eat Plenty the Scourge.
Who cares?
Who cares? No one cares. And
maybe Travis.
Anything else here? Oh, yeah, we talked about the name change. Robert selects jab on Cody.
Yeah, so did Robert is just going to stick with his name, I guess it looks like. He is free to change his name.
He is free to change it.
Yeah, under league rules.
As well as his icon, which was an homage to his matchup with Steven even more weeks ago. But, you know?
Karma. You don't, don't mess with karma.
Why mess with success?
Yeah.
Don't fix what ain't broke. And it doesn't look broke right now.
No.
So... props to Pastor Bob.
Absolutely.
Did you have some questions?
Yeah, so a couple. I had put out some MVP, most valuable dad bod player, in, I believe it was alphabetical order. So wanted to change that to non-alphabetical order.
Whoa.
Yeah. Go ahead and give us an update on the...
is this just reverse alphabetical order?
No.
Is there some type of...
No, there is some value. So there's some reasoning behind this. I think there was a little bit of pushback, but luckily Seth has received MVP votes. So he is on the list.
He's on the ballot.
For most valuable. So he's going to be at the bottom of the list, but he's on the list. He has received votes. You know, there's the top 25 and then there's receiving votes. And Seth is receiving votes for volume of GroupMe texts, for sure.
Unparalleled.
Unbelievable. Obviously, the trade debacle or amazingness, whichever way you want to spin that, was very valuable.
Is no one else there's shocked that he dumps Deion Lewis this week?
Yeah, it's pretty big news.
No one else cares?
Wait, he dumped Deion Lewis?
No one else cares?
No, it was on GroupMe for a minute, but it was kind of glossed over.
Wait, Deion Lewis is on the waiver?
No, he trades Deion Lewis for Philip Rivers.
Yeah, he traded him for Philip Rivers and his Flacco. Flacco and Deion from Philip. Right. Yeah.
Wait, what did he get in return?
He got Philip Rivers.
Yeah. And the memes. I mean, the memes are... Smart trade. Some serious time, I assume. I have no idea how to do that.
I think I started the meme train talking about podcast advertising.
Yep.
Which, note for all of our Patreon subscribers, this episode comes to you ad-free because none of our advertisers provided us live reads. So I posted about that, but then Seth has run away with the meme game.
Yeah. Yeah,
as he has with all,
and that's put him on the list, right? That is part of what's put him on the list for the most valuable podcast player, MVP. So next would be Caleb, the data analysis, the Caleb's Corner as the most popular segment. I mean, I am currently shedding a tear that there isn't a Caleb's Corner this week.
Yeah.
But, you know, I understand. Such is life.
You're not the only one.
Sickness is not fun. So, next, we've got Travis. I believe his job is herding cats as the commissioner of this league, slash putting up with Trey and the amount of crud that Trey likes to give Travis, which I think is hilarious on all levels. I don't think I'm throwing anyone under the bus there, but I'm certainly trying to help.
You're walking the line.
Pot. Yes, walking the line.
You're definitely not trying to bring this to a peaceful resolution.
No, I am not. But I think it's hilarious. Followed by Zach for editing. I think it's common knowledge, but it was reminded to me earlier that this podcast would not be happening right now if it was not for Zach.
Yeah, not at this frequency.
So huge props. So coming in at number three would be Zach for his editing skills, for his inspirational devotion to mock drafts. Number two, one of the amazing co-hosts, Matt. He's bringing it strong week in, week out with the podcast. He has Except one last weeks.
Yeah.
He has most one weeks. Less most podcast weeks. And therefore probably that's what's pulled him into the second position, right? And so there he is. But he also has trades. He has trades that make us laugh. He has trades that make us angry. I mean, he has a massive number of trade requests, and that is bringing a lot of value to the league.
Bring something.
It brings something. It does, you know, there's not a lot of dead air in there on the GroupMe, and it's a large part thanks to that. So, and then Jamie, you know, bringing it every week, consistent host, bringing the tough questions, getting people to throw other people under the bus, even though they're not asked to do so. I mean, pretty awesome. Yeah, huge props to doing the podcast. I'm very thankful to hear that the demise of the podcast is gratefully, you know, very overreported. That is a huge relief. So those are our current MVP ratings, but we will revisit those later as the season progresses.
It's a long season.
Subject to change. It's a long season.
Long season.
We're 6 weeks in. Got a long way to go.
How many? We have 15 weeks. Is that right?
If you're lucky. If you're lucky. No, no.
That's true. If you're lucky.
Yeah.
You're right. If you're lucky.
And good.
And good.
Yeah.
So can you just bring a little bit more clarity? What is the MVP? Is this just league MVP? Is this podcast MVP? Is this GroupMe MVP?
Yeah, I think it's value.
What is everything?
It's bringing value. So it's going to incorporate everything.
Okay.
You know, it's going to incorporate everything. I think your performance, your offers of trades, your actions inside of the actual fantasy certainly contribute to that. But obviously your actions outside of what happens on the gridiron.
So like what if I never
probably weighted more heavily than your actual performance. But yeah, your performance counts.
Well, what if I never show up at a Monday night Cardinal Hall hangout?
Mm.
Does that ding me in this?
It doesn't help. It does not help. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So with that Absolutely. In mind, I'm just going to throw out some names
Most
here.
Most valuable, you know.
Robert, Cody, Sean. Do they have time to claw back into the rankings?
Absolutely.
Could you see
right?
one of them making an MVP run?
Week
second
six
half?
Of, yeah, I mean, Sean sent the best email we've had so far, right? So you can't count him out.
Correct.
You know, everybody is in this league, and I would say that we've established that league participation has skyrocketed, right? So I would say the baseline for this league is probably last year's MVP, right? I mean, everybody's way more involved. Everyone's way more excited. The podcast is way more fun. The GroupMe is way more fun. The whole thing is way more fun. So everybody has more involvement, I would say, than last year. It's my perception, at least.
Oh, totally true.
So, yeah, I would say no one's out of the running.
That's good to know. And I'm immensely honored to be named as the current front runner.
Yep.
In that lead. And one of the things that you mentioned, two of the things that you mentioned, one was consistency, and the second one was occasionally being willing to ask the hard questions. And as you may have heard on the last podcast, I found one of the damn naysayers. But there's one more out there, so my job is not finished.
Yes.
And I'm going through this list. I'm like, who might not want this league to be a keeper league?
Yep.
At the beginning of this episode, we have a shocking news alert. Drew might not be here next year, and it would be criminally negligent or grossly incompetent for me not to put you on the spot right now and say, Still. Drew,
yep.
are you the damn naysayer that kept us from a keeper league?
Well,
Thank you, by the way.
Yeah, I can say, just like Steven, that I am not the damn naysayer, but I am a damn naysayer.
I found them both.
No. So...
No?
The naysay that I refer to, I was a meh. I believe meh was an option. Was that not one of
that
the...
That was
like,
an option.
That was an option, right?
Was it?
Yeah. Yes. It was kind of like, I don't know.
Right.
So yeah. That was my response to Keeper. And I believe my response to the auction as well. But I would have voted against them when it came to a vote, but I did not vote against them. So I'm not one of...
Yeah, those. I don't think that's naysaying.
I was the naysayer for the name change. The one vote, which happened after we had reached a supermajority, which right. I think we've now established that everyone knows what a supermajority is. So thanks for everyone clarifying that.
Yeah. Which my understanding was... 67%, more than two-thirds, was my understanding.
That's what Congress is, but I think the definition is it can be whatever you want it to be, but
you're right.
That's the standard for the Senate using a supermajority. So I was about to get renamed. I was having a terrible week, and I would say that's how much I do care, is that I was just miffed. And then the votes had already happened. I think it was already 9 votes for yes, so I knew that it was going through.
Yeah.
And I was going to be the first one that was renamed. And I missed it by about 2 points. I scored under 100, and I think Zach beat me by 46 or 48.
Wow.
And I was not happy.
Not
I was
not
in a
it.
Dark place.
Yeah.
And so I voted no. So I was a naysayer, but I was not the naysayer.
That's good, because I asked Travis about this.
And now you appreciate just, it. I have come right. Now that I have 2 wins and I won't be winless throughout the whole year, I think I can appreciate the fun in it. I was in a not happy place at the time of that poll coming out.
I respect that.
I think proof that I care.
With a lot of these things, I think my main concern was, is this just one person that we're putting up fun ideas, trying to put add wrinkles to this league just for amusement? And is this one person consistently every time? Just keeper? No. Auction? No.
Right.
Name change? No. It's like, who is this person?
It's not one person.
Get him on the pod.
Right. We've established that.
Talk it out.
We've established it's not one person. And I think we also, so I voted meh and would have voted against him. And I think it sounds like from the pod, we've come to the conclusion we kind of like sticking with where we are because of the continuity.
Yeah, I don't know why.
The fab adds the great things to this league that we needed to kind of carry over. And my rule 100%. Change adds the carryover as well, where your performance this year affects your draft position next year. So you have a little bit of that, but it's not huge.
I love that.
And we might have new people. And so it's going to be hard, you know, auction. An auction for me, it just, the fab is great because it takes more effort, but it's not the end of the world. Auction, I just not sure I could keep up with it. So I voted meh, but would have voted against it when we got here.
I agree. I love the current league format. Yep. This is the one that I want to roll with next year.
Yep.
I don't understand why the person or persons that voted against these didn't reveal themselves on draft night. why was no one willing to own that position in public?
Some people turning this into a manhunt. This ain't a manhunt. We're grateful for this person. I am grateful for this person.
Yeah, reveal yourselves, because I said I would solve this mystery by the end of the season.
We have many weeks to go.
That is
We've
a task
that
I'm carrying right now, and journalistically have to get to the bottom of the story. And if someone just wants to.
Yep.
Confess on GroupMe, then I don't have to ask it on every podcast. But until that point in time, I need people to look me in the eyes and tell me
here we are.
Where they were on these issues.
Yep. Makes sense.
I've got another question, or another little quick segment here, but did you have some more stuff?
Go for it. I'll follow up yours.
So,
my last point.
I just wanted to do a quick follow-up on this weekly Tiers of Fears. So just to finalize the voting here, so we end up with 4 tiers of fears. And at the top, Caleb Fleming, you might have seen that at the top. Then in the second tier, we have a tie with Stephen Luck and Sean Greer. And then coming up in the third tier is myself. And then followed by everyone else receiving no votes. So kind of interesting. I'm not totally surprised by this, you know, this perception as of week 5, but I thought it was really interesting to take a peek at just some current rankings for the rest of the season. And I think that Travis Pikkel does not get as much love in this fear ranking as he deserves. So currently, I'll tell you these people right here. So Caleb Fleming, if we look at Fantasy Pros rest of season rankings,
Caleb Fleming actually has two players in the top 30. Now, that doesn't sound like very many, but two of them are in the top 10, and one of them is number two, Melvin Gordon. And then Sean Greer has four players in the top 30, with two in the top five.
I don't want to play Sean.
So, you know, makes sense. You know, his votes make sense. Jumping to Stephen Luck. Let's see here. He's got the number one overall player, obviously, Todd Gurley. And he's got a couple more sneaking in, round out in the top 30 with Kelsey and Mike Evans and Juju Smith-Schuster all in the 20s. So, yeah, totally deserves those votes he's getting. My team, not that many guys in the top 30. Antonio Brown, Devonta Adams, and that's it. However, taking a peek at old Travis Pikel, I think he deserves some votes for sure. Who Are the Chefs has the most players in the top 30 of anybody, with five.
Who's his number one ranked player?
Joe Mixon.
Oh.
Joe Mixon.
Interesting.
This guy that he traded for.
But Leonard Fournette's ranked as the number 30 player. He scored 11 points. I would know that.
Yeah, has he been on the field this year?
That's misleading, I think. These rankings are still... That goes back to our perceived value conversation. This is not...
I mean, these rankings are taking into account all these factors that we're talking about.
Sure, yep. And they're still not going off raw points yet, right? Because Leonard Fournette has not scored points.
It has only to do with future points.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Gotcha. Starting when? Because you just saw that article that says Fournette might not be back until week 10.
Week 10, yeah.
I guess we'll find out.
I think that Travis's team absolutely deserves to be feared. I think that his week where, you know, his bench basically outscored his starters is that big question mark. You know, can the right player score at the right time? He's got all the pieces there. But, you know, if the wrong guys have the wrong week, all of a sudden, you know, he has an off week. So, whereas some of these other teams, it doesn't seem like they're as likely to have an off week. So, I think he has the most top 30. But at the same time, you got to look at who's consistent with scoring. If he's, you know, switching people around. Yeah, I think that's maybe why he does not quite as feared. I'm in love with Alvin Kamara from last year, saving me from stand-up comedy. So, you know, for me, I don't want to play Sean. I think, you know, he with that Ingram and Kamara together, you know, I think that's a dangerous duo. And
Sonny Michel coming on.
Yeah, I think he's got a scary team that I don't look forward to playing against. And, you know, I think he's basically 2-3 because he has the most points scored against him. And as the person who has the second most points scored against him, that's not fun.
I think Travis's team for me comes down to Aaron Rodgers. Mm. And with the injury this year, there have been a couple weeks where Aaron Rodgers has looked very human.
Mm.
And if Aaron Rodgers is performing at the level that we've all seen him perform at for the past 10 years, his team is incredibly scary.
Yeah.
If Aaron Rodgers is going to go out there and score him 18 points, it's a lot less scary.
Good point.
It's true. Well,
and Caleb's data kind of bears that out, right? You're averaging 105 to 120. Those 15 points difference for Aaron Rodgers is the difference between scoring 115 and 100. 115 wins you most games. 100 loses you most games. So that's right on the knife's edge for him.
And that's what we talk about with obsessing over fantasy football or, you know, just kind of taking a look at the lineup and rolling with the guys that you think can give you a team. There's not a lot of margin for error in a lot of these weeks. And seven teams at 2-3 kind of bears that out.
Yep.
And You know, a healthy Aaron Rodgers could shoot Travis to the top of the league. Struggling over the next couple of weeks could, you know, have him fighting for one of those final playoff spots or potentially duking it out for stand-up comedy.
Yeah. All right, well, so my wife got a call out from last week. As you mentioned, she considers Stephen Luck the winner of this league every year for his ability to enjoy the league without obsessing. So that brings us to my segment, which I'm going to call the Spouses Special. And this is her comments on fantasy football and general comments. We talk about it. I think it's been funny and fun. I think multiple times she's walked into the room and I just have a big smile on my face and she knows that I'm reading some ridiculous comment from GroupMe. And so I tell her the ones that I think are funny and or appropriate. And so her comments were, I kind of tried to sell it as like, you know, look, this is camaraderie, right? Like one of the things she mentioned to me that was when we were first dating, she was like, you had valuable relationships with friends. I'm like, okay, well, this is camaraderie. This is a group of guys building relationships. It's been way more fun this year than it has even in the past, which was also fun. So I was like, isn't that value? And she said, yes, there is value in the camaraderie, and it's ridiculous how much you obsess about football. So that's the Katie hot take for fantasy football. If future guests want to bring spouses' opinions into the equation, I would encourage that. But that's the spouses' special from the Thatch household.
I feel a little uncomfortable. I'm almost glad that we do not have spousal input into.
I take the positive. You're building community, and that is potentially a bonus, right? I would see this as a plus. Do you see the podcast as a plus?
Oh, totally.
For relationships, you know.
Totally. I mean, I don't want to like overstep, but I think that pod number one with Travis introducing the league, coming back on, that was a game changer. It was a totally random thing. Jamie and I were just like, we got to do this. Trav, come on the show. We just spit out this 30-minute episode. And I have no idea how the other thing started, but it was a snowball. And that was the first little bit of it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's been awesome. But I do think it'd be really funny to hear what all these different spouses have to say. And it makes me a little nervous.
Well, there we go. 50-50 from the Thatch household.
So on a previous episode, Trey said Chrissy is a co-owner of his team.
Yeah.
Does Katie feel co-ownership? No interest in co-ownership?
Yeah.
Could she take over for 2 years?
Yes. Great question.
While you're in school?
The answer is no to that question. It's a great question. She thinks fantasy... She thinks the actual act of fantasy is silly. It's fake people in a game. She has no real concept for that. But she appreciates the GroupMe. She appreciates the podcast. She appreciates the camaraderie. So that's what her comment was, you know, that it's you're building this fun community and you're playing a stupid game that I don't understand.
Right.
Yeah. So that's where she is. So no, she will not be running a team. Although that being said, she is, again, the one who mentioned her coworker who had the family team, and I think she would actually be open to that, but she's not going to seriously. That would still be me managing her team for her in the family league. But yeah, we'd love to get other people's ideas on family league and whether or not they'll be instituting that for other dad bod aficionados.
That's fair. I want to hit you with a hypothetical here based off of that last question. Mm-hmm. So you decide to take a step back for 2 years.
Potentially. It's up in the air, but I want to get it out there as this, you know, I'm thinking about it. Zach thinks about it every year. He makes that decision. And so, like I said, mad props to Zach. And that's where I am. Just want to give an update. But yeah. So I haven't made a decision yet.
So in this hypothetical, you take a step back. Katie, Shepard, and Gus step in as a three-headed owner for you for 2 years.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they don't pay attention to the league. Right. They come in last next year.
Who does the stand-up?
Who does the stand-up? Right. Would you come back and do stand-up, or are you making...
I mean, Gus is probably the best option in our family for stand-up. He would probably stand up there and tell you stories for much longer than 5 minutes.
So, as long as I let him
Yeah, go. Exactly. Until he gets literally like a cane pulling him off of the stage. If I could diffuse the punishment across, you know, the entire family, I mean, that's obviously a motivating factor.
That's a, you know, a minute divide and a quarter.
I know, yeah. Yeah, that's not a lot of
time.
It's
like one joke.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, that's an interesting option. So, yeah, we'll see.
But yeah, talking about kind of the community building aspect of it, I think you're one of the people along with Seth and Steven I've played soccer with the past season, so I've gotten to know him a little bit better. But I think the first two seasons I was in the league, I don't think I had a conversation with you, you or Seth at all.
We were there at the draft together, and I believe I saw you in Panera at one point.
What?
And we recognized that we acknowledged one another, which would not have happened if we were not in a fantasy football league.
True.
So we have to give ourselves props for saying hello to one another. But yeah, that's a pretty low bar.
Wait, so did you know, when you joined, you knew Travis?
Yes.
Seth?
Yep.
And Steven?
Yes. And Eric Kelly was in the first year of the league.
That's right.
Yeah. And did we know each other at the time? Maybe not yet.
I was about to say, I kind of think so, but...
Yeah, we've been right around the time you and I knew each other, but yeah.
But I feel like, because, I mean, I know you more through Will.
I think Eric was probably the 12th person, and I feel confident that I was the 11th ad there. But I've loved it, and it's been a lot of fun, and yeah, absolutely. I think there's camaraderie and relationships that weren't there before, which is cool. So, yeah, I will have to evaluate. Like I said, it's going to depend on school this spring semester. If it's as to whether or not it's possible.
I start
January 3rd. Yeah. So that'll be the determining factor.
Did you have more?
No, not really. Other than to ask you, we had talked about it earlier, if you guys were the odd couple. We've established Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon were the odd couple that I'm familiar with. Walter Matthau is the slob sports writer, and Jack Lemmon is the neurotic neat freak.
What is uncomfortable is that it is extremely easy.
Yeah, it's not difficult at all.
Like, Jamie can very quickly claim the slob sports writer. Like, that's 80% Jamie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Neurotic neat freak. Great. You know, that's me.
60%?
Something like, I don't know. Yeah. 90%? I don't know.
Very, very neurotic. Incredibly neurotic.
So... You got us.
Yeah. Well, I think if we're wrapping up here, I do feel like I've thrown Matt under the bus twice. So
two
you can
times.
Count that for two.
Two times. But I think you're...
I feel like I have...
Very diplomatic with everyone else.
And that was actually the other thing that my wife said. She said, what's said on a pod stays on a pod forever.
It's true.
Basically
that
reminding me, don't be...
It is on 12 platforms.
Yeah.
Don't be an a-hole.
I don't know how to scrub this from the internet.
You know,
it's
exactly.
Out there.
And it's somewhat disturbing to me because I don't consider myself an a-hole, and yet that is consistently the advice that I get from her, is don't be an a-hole.
Don't be one.
So, but it's good advice, I would say.
That's really good advice.
So I feel like props to her in helping me hopefully not be an a-hole.
Well, props to Zach for also editing out any bad words that we use in this
That's
pod.
True.
I've never heard a bad word on a pod.
There have been several times that we've said, Zach, you can edit this out if you want. And it's in every episode.
That's in the
It's
pod.
In every single episode.
If I was Zach, I would edit, and I would definitely keep those parts in. Yeah. Zach, edit this out. Absolutely not. Yeah. It's in there.
It's like, oh.
Matt facts.
Matt tried Matt to get facts, that.
And then it was like, run it back. Try again. And then that's
one more time.
One more time.
Jeez.
All in the pod.
Too good.
Thank you, Zach. Well,
it's been so good to have you, Drew.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks Super for coming fun. On. This is great.
This has been Matt, James, and Drew. Episode 7.
For at least one more week, the podcast lives.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Go fall in a well.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.